We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Bite, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Now, from Learfield.
Pistols firing! Touchdown, Oklahoma State!
This is the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. Here is your host, Dave Hunziker.
Dave Hunziker and Robert Allen with you as we get ready for the Cowboys in Kansas coming up from Lawrence. And it was, last Saturday was, it was rough, I have to tell you. We'll go back to that for just a moment, but I think it caught me by surprise. I have to admit I didn't see that coming. I usually roll through about 5 or 6 scenarios during the course of a game week, but I will confess that that wasn't one of them.
You know what? I'm guilty of not always expressing every feeling I have going into a game.
Well, that's okay. You keep things in your pocket if you want to.
I don't know if that's the coach in me. I don't know if it's the coaches that I hang around here. I don't even know if it's the coach in my family that I talk to on a regular basis and get, you know, because, you know, you'll be honest with this. I mean, not necessarily telling everything, but when you have your conversations with Mike Gundy, there are things that are said before the tape recorder, before the
right
sound recorder goes on, before things go on the record. There are things that are said that aren't going to be for public consumption.
Right.
Might be translated during a broadcast.
Sure.
Because in our role, in this role doing the broadcast, we are the voice of Oklahoma State describing the game. I always say we're realistic homers.
No, I think that's accurate.
You are
I would
the hometown
that.
Broadcast, but it's kind of like I'll throw something in that the listeners of our broadcast didn't hear last week. I had several different opinions during the course of the contest. This was in the first half on the job the offensive line was doing.
Right. You chimed in a lot.
And at one time we go to a break, and I said to you during the break, I said, Dave, am I being too negative? Or I think I said, am I going to be in trouble?
Yeah, something like that.
And you go, what for? And I said, am I being too negative about the performance of the offensive line? And he goes, no, you're telling us what you're seeing, which is
what
we job. I mean, now, again, you know, it's a whole different deal. Now, in my daily radio show, I tend to lean more toward like I am on a radio broadcast. It's hard to go in and out of roles sometimes.
It is.
And you've always said to John Holcomb and I that I don't envy you guys having to do that. But to get back to what I was going to say.
Yeah, what were you going to say?
I had some negative feelings.
Did you?
I didn't share them. But here's what you look at. And this is one of the things I looked at in retrospect this week. I remember a few years back when Oklahoma State had just an utterly awful game against West Virginia. Couldn't get anything done against Tony Gibson's 33 stack.
Yep.
You know, just it was ugly. It was absolutely an ugly football game. And I remember, because teams do this, I know most fans would say, well, you need to work on every opponent. Well, you do work on every opponent in the spring, in the summer, in the off season. We go into the coaches' offices, and what fans don't see, because they don't get to go into the coaches' offices, there is a big binder on every team in each of the coaches' offices. That literally, folks, is the book. That's the book.
Yeah.
On every team.
Talking about
in
the book on a team.
Every
that's
team
literally
in the Big 12. It's the game plan for however many years Mike Gundy's coached. It's a list of cut-ups you can go look at on video. There's even articles on the coaches, their mindset,
yeah.
All those things. I mean, internet. I mean, they collect everything. There is literally a book on every team. Oklahoma State, in that offseason after 14, they worked the book on West Virginia a little harder, to the point that every day in spring practice,
I remember
they
that.
Worked a few minutes every day on Tony Gibson's defense. In fall camp, they did it again. And what happened the next year was a big win over West Virginia. I really thought after the game, considering the game plan was, I thought, on both sides of the ball for Texas Tech was impeccable. It was a damn good game plan. Mike Gundy said in the post game they got out coached. I think they probably did. And I think Tech, when you've got an 0-5 record, as Cliff Kingsbury did as a head coach, and your school has an even worse record against Oklahoma State, your fans are chomping at the bit to beat Oklahoma State. That's the recipe to put in a little extra work on an opponent. I think, honestly, that going in the off season and in the summer, I know on the Oklahoma State side, because I saw some of it, that Oklahoma State put in some extra work on Boise State. I think Boise probably did the same thing. And you saw what happened. Oklahoma State won that game, and I mean, they took advantage of Boise on offense, defense, and special teams.
Well, it was a matchup dream in so many ways. It's just one of those things where, and it doesn't happen all that often when it's like that, where almost everything you do on both sides of the ball, especially when you throw in the quarterback run game, is perfect against that opponent that you face. And that was the case with Boise. It really was.
Yeah.
And we kind of knew that, had that suspicion going in. It's like, you know what? This could be a really big day, because there's everything kind of matches your way. And then against Texas Tech, not so much.
And before anybody says, well, why don't they put some extra time in on Oklahoma? Well, they do. There are a couple of schools in your schedule every year automatically. I think Oklahoma State always in the off season, the coaching staff, at least part of the coaching staff, sometimes they'll divide it up. Maybe the offense has had trouble with a school. The defense hasn't. And the offense will work a little harder because you have so much time. It's a finite amount of time in the off season, and you have meetings with your staff. You got to go recruiting. So there's all kinds of things in the mix. But And Kansas, you know, you would look at Kansas and say David Beatty's crew ought to work extra hard on every team, and I'm sure they probably do. And the rest of the conference probably doesn't work as hard on Kansas. I don't know that's necessarily is the case. Oklahoma State's run into some really competitive situations against Kansas.
Oh, my gosh.
Especially up in Lawrence. Yeah,
absolutely.
So, but anyway, that's just a little bit of an insight. When people say, well, boy, they really had the book on those guys. Well, they really do have books.
Sure.
And there is information, and sometimes you work extra hard. And I would say Texas Tech, congratulations to Cliff Kingsbury and that crew. They did really good. I would say this, too, and I say this in my daily radio show. times at Oklahoma State have changed. I mean, now you lose a game and literally the sky is falling. And
yeah. That's a good problem to have.
It is. I mean, and I used to get mad about it. And then of all people, my son said, hey, Dad, and he's seen OSU football. He grew up with OSU football. Then he was here as a player, and he doesn't know much about what's going on over here now because he's got his own issues. But he said, hey, Dad, I remember when I first started going to the games, something bad would happen. Everybody goes, oh, we still love our kids. It's great. Ha, ha, ha. You know, and he goes, that's what losing teams fans do. Winning teams fans, when a mistake happens, want to chop their head off. That's just the way things are. And he goes, what would you rather have, a winning team with those expectations and hardcore fans, or fans that just love their kids but don't mind whether they win or lose?
Great line from my good friend John Anderson. He called me one time about 3 years ago. I don't think he'll mind me sharing this. The biggest enemy to a college athletic program in any sport is not losing, it's apathy. That is death when that happens. And we don't have that here, but he's right.
Back when people were saying, well, we love our kids, it's okay.
It wasn't apathy.
They loved their kids and they came to the games, but there were only about 30,000 to 35,000 of them.
Yep.
You know what? Do you want to go back to that? I guarantee the not just football, but every sport on this campus never wants to go back to that. And you've got an athletic director that identified when he took over, football needs to drive this bus. That's where you can make your money and make your
hay. That's big in the sport that he coached. So, Coach Holder in golf. You know, and it seems to me, and I guess this is always true, and you get into games where maybe – there's a little bit of a talent difference, and this could be any team playing the other in the Big 12. And we saw it in the Boise game and then a little bit flipped at Texas Tech. So much is about matchups. I think more so in football than maybe when I first got here, because now everything's spread out. And do you have the way to exercise the spread demon? You know, the Iowa State now, you know, and to a large extent, Kansas method is becoming the popular way to try to deal with these spread RPO attacks. And it's, for basic purposes, it's a three-man front, and then you drop eight into coverage, and then when you see it's run, everybody attacks. Iowa State's had, like Texas Tech, as we documented last week's, had great success stopping it. But you just get into matchups. Boise State was very clearly a matchup advantage, and so you ping-pong around during the course of a season, and some teams you match up well against schematically, and some you don't. And to me, I think it's even – I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I know more about football now than I did 25 years ago, but I think it's more prevalent now than it used to be. Maybe I'm wrong. I think just because how offenses have changed, it becomes a lot about matchups. And so unless you have much better players than your opponent, there's going to be some ebb and flow with it. Not necessarily winning and losing, but ebb and flow.
Symbolically, while you were talking there and thinking about what you were saying, what did I just drop?
You dropped your depth chart.
And what does that represent? That's the Jimmies and the Joes.
Yeah.
Okay, what did I pick up?
You looked at your scout play sheet.
I looked at my log of this is Kansas's defense.
So what's your point?
I dropped the Jimmies and the Joes for
and
the
you start
X's
looking
and the
at
O's.
The X and O's.
Yeah, because this is my log for the Rutgers and Baylor games. I keep one on one side, one on the other. Those are fronts. Those are coverages.
Defensive fronts and coverages. Gotcha.
And
I've seen your chicken scratches before.
Yeah, and what I'm showing you last week, what did I say? I said Tech. We said this in our pregame. Tech runs a lot of coverages, dude. They run a lot. I think I said 29 in the two games.
And you can go
Kansas
either way.
Topped that.
How many did they run?
30 coverages in the last two games. I'm wondering if part of how these teams, and you're right, most part it's rush three, drop eight.
Yep.
Three, you know, and most of their fronts are 30 fronts. They run a little bit of 41, 42.
They still running the bear stuff in a four-man front?
They are not.
They used to, really, right?
They did. They are not. They showed no bear.
Okay.
They showed no five-man front. And here's a stat that I really like now, because it kind of shows you what their pedigree is. In the last two games, this is rush. How many guys rush the passer?
Yeah,
rush
so that's your pressure.
That's your pressure. They are 33% three-man pressure, 47% four-man pressure. So they're either probably coming at you with three or four. But look at that, 19 for five-man.
Wow.
That's not much. 1% six.
And when you think
they
of didn't a blitz,
they never
basically,
rush seven.
If you bring more than four, it could be qualified
it's a blitz.
It's a blitz. Yeah. So they're a very low percentage blitz team.
Low percentage
relatively
blitz.
Speaking.
Yeah, I mean, they are 38% stunt. It says 44% blitz, but some of that is zone blitzes.
Right.
Where they drop an end into coverage
so
and bring a linebacker.
Really a blitz.
So the pressure is the same. They're just trying to give the offensive line a different look
disguising.
And confuse them.
Yep.
So, again, everybody likes to say it's the Jimmies and Joes and not the. But if you don't have the Jimmies and Joes, you're going to put a little more into the X's and
sure
O's.
You are.
And that's exactly what Kansas does.
And it's constant cat and mouse. Now, that being said.
That's good stuff. I'm going to give that again Saturday.
Sure. I don't care what you do. You do what you want.
But we gave it on the podcast. I'm just telling you.
Well,
podcast people, you're getting
else.
Some good stuff.
I will say this. And I asked Coach Gundy about this in a pregame show. And I've said this to you a bunch of times this week to the point where I know you're tired of hearing it. But I haven't said it to anyone
on the
on
podcast.
The air. This is, I think, maybe by some margin, the most talented Kansas team we've played in a while. Now, their quarterback play has been sketchy, but Puka Williams, they haven't had a running back like him in a while, right? And think about their offensive line. You've got two starters, both starters on the right side, have beaten out returning starters from a year ago because they went the grad transfer route. Now, they're not all Americans, but the guy Wallace was a starter at Cal. He starts at right guard.
We had a starter from Cal last year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's Wallace, and Feeder came in from Ohio State. He's been injury-plagued. Fontana necessarily didn't play a lot, but especially defensively, and you add Puka Williams into the mix, I think they do have more talent because you think about the two guys on defense, and this is not an exaggeration. You can go look at the draft boards, and they'll tell you this. Daniel Wise, the defensive tackle, who was first-team All-Conference last year, and Joe Dineen, who led the Big 12 in tackles and I think was, in fact, led the nation in solo tackles a year ago. Those guys are projected to be anywhere from second to fourth round draft picks, and they haven't had guys like that. Now, their quarterback play continues to be sketchy, which is a big problem for them. But they've got some other guys that I think are better than some of the guys they've had in the past.
And I'm going to give you verification to your comment there. If you ask me, and I'm not saying I would take him necessarily over the guy that's playing that position at Oklahoma State, but I would like to have these five guys. And that's
probably
the most I've ever said. Azur Kamara, the JUCO defensive end from Arizona Western.
Yeah, he's a great story. He didn't start playing football until he was like a junior in high school. That's a great story.
And Oklahoma State recruited him. I mean, Oklahoma State recruited him, and I think they would have taken him. And he went to Kansas. Daniel Wise, who is also a great story, was going to go to Air Force. And Kansas got in on him at the last minute. And Daniel Wise is an NFL player. You mentioned Joe Dineen.
Yeah.
I would take Loniker.
Both the linebackers.
The linebackers. I'd take both linebackers. And then a guy they've shifted here recently because of injuries to corner to safety, Hassan Defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just taking him because I like his last name. It is a heck of a last name
it
to
is.
Play defense. But he's a good player. And he's a guy that he's undersized at safety. He's not a big, tall, rangy corner.
Yeah, he's 5'11".
But he can cover. And I like him. I probably like him a little more at safety because he's a good tackler and he's physical.
That does reveal something, though, about Kansas. It probably is a weakness. And you think about the Baylor game, you could certainly come to this conclusion. They gave up, I think it was three touchdown passes against Baylor of 30 yards or more. And when you have a guy like Hassan Defense, a guy flipping from corner to safety and back and forth, usually is an indication that your depth in the secondary is not quite as good as you'd like it to be. And that was because Ricky Thomas, one of their starting safeties, was out with an injury. I'm not certain whether he'll be
they
back
don't have
or not.
They don't have a corner safety over 6 foot, do they?
I don't think so.
They do.
No. Oh, Corion Harris, the freshman, is
6'1". 6'1", and he's
a
true
freshman out of New Orleans,
playing.
Who was pretty
That's
highly
another,
regarded out of high school.
Yeah, it's still another sign when you're playing a true freshman corner.
Yeah.
That's usually a sign that you're kind of threadbare at that position.
And offensively, as far as Kansas goes, when they can run the ball, they've been successful. They ran it well against Rutgers. They ran it well against Central Michigan. Baylor loaded the box, it appeared, and they had 0 yards rushing in the first half. Against Nichols, when they lost to the FCS or 1AA, Puka Williams didn't play. So would he have been the difference in an overtime loss? I would make an argument probably so. They win the game if they had Puka Williams. But quarterback play, they're not throwing it downfield much. They seem to kind of have their quarterbacks on a little bit of a rein, so to speak. Peyton Bender's been the starter. They've been bringing in the backup, the runner, Miles Kendrick, who's more of a running guy, but he hurt his shoulder against Baylor. I don't know if he'll play or not. And there's a buzz up there that Carter Stanley may get a chance. I don't know if he'll start or whether he would be quick to come in, but there's a bit of a buzz up there about what might happen at quarterback. But the quarterback play, even though Kansas hasn't thrown an interception this year, you kind of watch and then you read what's being written about the team. There's concern about accuracy and consistency there, and Baylor just said, throw it and beat us, and they weren't able to do it.
No. So, but, yeah, I think you're going up there. It's homecoming. They're 2-2. Best record they've had after four games in a long time. I think their fans are probably still interested, although I noticed Basketball Media Day was held earlier this week in Lawrence.
Yeah, and they've got the big shindig. Late night at the Fog, I think, is Friday night, I think. I think I saw that.
Is it really?
I think it is. I think. But don't hold me to that. I think it is.
Can you start practice this weekend?
I know we're starting Monday.
Well, yeah, but that's October 1, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought I'd read that. I might have been wrong, but that's what I may have misread that.
I think they'd have to have it next week.
Maybe it is. I don't know. I'm not in the KU basketball mode yet. I'm worried about this.
Yeah, I think we all should be.
Yeah, so you know, we'll see. It's a, you know, I think defensively, if you get the run stopped, you feel pretty good about, you know, you feel really good about your chances. Offensively, you'd certainly like to be able to run the ball on these guys and then be able to take advantage of some things in the passing game. But, you know, run defense, they've been okay. I wouldn't say they've been great. I'd say they've been okay. But, you know, they are a little bit better. And you know what you're talking about? We haven't played well up there. Even though we've won, we haven't played very well.
There are two things I want to see.
And what do you want to see?
I think if you see them, you'll win the game. And the number one thing I want to see is I am sick of having Justice Hill, J.D. King, and Chuba Hubbard and not seeing them get open spaces to run in.
I'm with you.
And I'm just telling you, if that happens, I mean, forget everything else anybody else has griped about. Forget, you know, Corndog's 6 bad throws. Forget, you know, receivers not battling enough for the football. Forget any injuries. Forget any of that stuff. If Oklahoma State can let those trio and make it a, you know, foursome when you add L.D. Brown and let those guys do what their talents allow them to do, you're going to be a happy camper. They're going to win a lot of football games. And once you unlock that running game sincerely, everything else is going to get a lot easier on
the
offense, the passing game. So especially if a team wants to rush 3 and drop 8, man, you got to get those guys open spaces. Got to let them go.
Yeah, and get them outside a little bit.
Yeah, get them in. You know, if they get a 2 or 3 or 4 yard head start, and I'm talking from the line of scrimmage where they've been battling, making guys miss behind
the line
of scrimmage.
I know.
Now you're talking about something special. Over on the defensive side, I want to see the team that tackled the way they tackled against Boise.
They looked a step slow
because
against Texas Tech, too,
just,
to me.
Not just slow.
Didn't tackle well.
Guys didn't tackle like they did. Now, Jarek Bernard, the freshman, came in and did.
Yep.
He had, I want to say he had 12, 13 tackles, something like that, maybe 14. I think he had 14. I think 12 were solos. But you know what? That's got to happen with everybody. And knowing that you might not have Calvin Bundage, and he's darn sure a good tackler.
Absolutely.
You need everybody else needs to – and you know what? The practices and the schedule doesn't allow you to work on tackling, not on live ammo. So you got to go tackle that ring. You've got to go work on tackling the dummies. And you got to go out there with the idea that when I get a chance, I'm going to put my man down.
Yeah, and you know what? I hope that at some point very soon we'll see Taylor Cornelius in turbo mode. And when I say that, doing the things that we have seen regularly in practice, that not all of those things have translated over into games yet. I look forward to seeing that. Maybe this is the week it happens.
Yeah,
I hope it is.
He had a good day yesterday.
Oh, yeah, he had a great day.
He was throwing
Wednesday.
The ball. And you know what? This is where you're right about. I really don't envy you guys having daily media requirements and roles. Because, you know, nobody wants to hear it. Everybody out there wants to replace the guy and thinks that the next guy is going to provide a spark.
And we're not saying it just to blow hot air. We are saying that it is an accurate depiction of what we're seeing. We're not just blowing. We're not just saying it to say.
Yeah, he was zipping the ball and leading people.
He's done that.
He throws like that
more often than
in a game. And, you know, Oklahoma State fans, they're not going to have a second thought about the quarterback position.
But. You know, it's
you got to do it in games.
Yeah, you do. It's and hopefully that will happen. So Lawrence is the place where the Cowboys have won, haven't lost since 94. But good grief, you look at most of these games, even 2016, when the Cowboys were a big favorite. It's midway to late in the third quarter before the Cowboys pulled away. That's when DeQuentin Osborne got that interception on his own blitz and ran it back to the goal line. That was fun. 2012, they had to get a roughing the punter penalty in the last 2 minutes with Kansas charging back, about to get the ball back with roughly 2 minutes to go. Boy, we had bad vibe on that deal until Quinn Sharp got hit and knocked down. You got 15 yards and were able to run out the clock. Even 2010, the Cowboys won that game 48-14, but that was a 20-14 game with about 9 to 10 minutes left in the third. So the wins have come, but it's been... We've not just gone up there and boat raced those guys since 2002. It's been a while since we just went up there and just throttled them. So we'll see.
Really? 2002, the last time that
was Mangino's first year, and that was the first year that we got on that bowl run, is when Josh Fields and Rashawn Woods were doing their thing.
Wow.
I think it was game 10. So I think that was our fifth win. Then the next week beat Baylor to get bowl eligible.
You know what I'm doing here.
What do you got? What are you up to? You checking weather?
Yes.
What do you see? It's supposed to be mid-60s and maybe a little chance of showers. Is that still in the forecast?
Says AM showers, 64. It's going to be 64 degrees, going to be the high. Says chance of rain, but it says AM showers. So you know what I have to do now.
You got to get your rain gear ready.
I have to go to the hour to hour.
That's important. I get that.
Yeah, here's hourly.
Next, what do you got?
48 hours. Get me to Saturday.
For Lawrence, Kansas. What do you
Saturday,
got?
Saturday, 11 a.m. kickoff. It shows rain, 30% chance, 52 degrees.
Ooh.
But noon, no rain, sunshine after that, 54, 57, 58.
I can get out the cool.
Hour.
I can get out like the cold weather stuff a little bit. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to pack a lot of crap.
You are. Yeah. You're in one of those contingency days.
Well,
it's like packing for vacation, and I have no idea what the weather's going to be like. And you just pack everything.
Well, and then I got to pack a whole new set of gear for Saturday night because
you got to go watch your son
on my way to NEO. So,
wow, that's funny. Okay, so 9 o'clock we'll start things Saturday. We're going to have a lot of things to talk about Saturday morning, so hope you'll join us then, and we'll kick off just after 11. That's Robert Allen. I'm Dave Hunziker. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.